You'll turn with me now in the Word of God to Luke chapter 11. This morning we'll be looking at Luke chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 4, but focusing on just a single line out of verse 2, "Hallowed be your name." And then this evening we'll look at a related passage, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, in which mankind, after the flood, decided to make a name for themselves, and how God responded to that. This morning we'll be looking at this portion of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name." So let us hear God now speak to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we ask that you would speak to us. As we have heard your word, may you continue to bring out the truth through my lips of what you are communicating to your people, that we may be a people who desire, above all else, to bring glory to your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we'll be looking at simply this one line, "Hallowed be your name." Now that word, "hallowed," is one that we don't use often, and at least I don't, in day-to-day conversation. As a child, I recall hearing the word "hallowed" and being somewhat confused about its meaning. I remember my mom would say things like, "I'm going to hallow out this melon," maybe to make melon balls or something else. And I said, "Wow!" Or I'd hear, "There's a hallow in that tree." I was very confused about that as a child. What does this mean? "Hallowed be thy name." How is it that God is scooped out? How is it that there's a hole made in God? So the first thing I want to do is I want to clear up any confusion for you about the word "hallowed," because it's a word we don't use. It does not, in spite of Pastor Christopher's mistaken childhood understanding, it does not mean something is being scooped out. It doesn't mean that a hole is being made. No, this is not H-O-L-L-O-W, but H-A-L-L-O-W. Hallowed. Now, most English translations retain the word "hallowed." The New Living Translation says, "May your name be kept holy." The Christian Standard Bible, "Your name be honored as holy." Your name be honored as holy. So "hallowed" may be then defined as to be kept holy, to be honored as holy, or to be sanctified, that is, set apart. Or as we'll use today, the phrase, to be glorified. So you know a bit about what "hallowed" means. To be kept holy, honored as holy, to be glorified. But the question that I have for you now is, are you able to pray, "Hallowed be your name"? And you may say, "Of course, we prayed it earlier." Yes, but are you really able to pray that? Are you able to say honestly, "Hallowed, glorified be your name, honored be your name," to God? You know, I'm convinced that we are only as free to pray, "Hallowed be your name," to the extent that we have stopped living a "hallowed be my name" lifestyle. Because there's a real disconnect, isn't there? We come to church on Sunday and we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," and we go live life as if it's "hallowed be my name." And that ought not to be. We're really good at hallowing our own name. It's a built-in reality to our sinful nature. We pray, "Hallowed be thy name," and we live, "Hallowed be my name. And it's my hope this morning as we think about this, that this message will free you from the trap that we all fall into. This trap of wanting to be someone in the eyes of men. And this is what we want to do. We want to be someone in the eyes of men. And I want to help you realize that you don't need to do that any longer because you're already someone in the eyes of God. You're already someone in the eyes of God. Think about it. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who cares if your name is known on the earth? Who cares? But we do, don't we? We do. We want to see our name in lights. But I want you to know that because your name is written in heaven and is recognized by heaven, that you're free now to glorify the one name that deserves to be glorified, the name of God. That's what Jesus is bringing out here. Hallowed be your name. The context here is one in which Jesus, as was his custom, is praying. And after he ended this prayer, when he ceased, one of his disciples came and asked him this question that we all need to ask God. Teach us how to pray. That should be a question that you ask God every day because we need help. We need help. If you think you've arrived in prayer, get rid of that idea because you haven't. Teach us to pray. And Jesus answers with this simple model prayer here contained in Luke, in three verses. But it's far from simple. It's complex. It's deep. One author has written of this prayer that it is a mine of spiritual treasure. A mine of spiritual treasure. That's why I'm doing 7 or 8 sermons on it. And that's scratching the surface of what Jesus is communicating here. But today I want to focus on this one line in verse 2. Hallowed be your name. And I want you to know that in Christ, as those who are Christians, since our name is known in heaven, that we no longer need to worry about making our name known on the earth. And it frees us up to make God's name known. But this is easier said than done, because whose name do we want to see glorified? Whose name do we by default want to see glorified? You know, there's a sign on the wall over there that says max occupancy 300. If we had this place filled to max occupancy, I guarantee you that there would be 300 hearts in this room with 300 different ideas as to whose name should be glorified, and none of them would be God. It would be yourself. That's the nature of sin. The sinful heart desires to see our name glorified, desires to see ourselves put first. You see, our sinful nature really inflames our hearts with the desire to see our own name glorified. We might put it like this. By nature, we are self-glorifying sinners. The Westminster Shorter Catechism in question 1 asks the question, what is the chief end of man? And some of you, you know that answer by heart. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But here's what we do. We flip it. We answer it in this way. We invert it. We say the answer is to glorify ourselves and to enjoy ourselves forever. To glorify ourselves and enjoy ourselves forever. I've been through this. And growing up, I can speak from experience. And growing up as a teenager, even as a young child, I wanted to be liked. That's not wrong in and of itself. But then growing up, I thought, well, I'm going to learn to play the guitar. Maybe I'll be a famous musician. Well, obviously, God didn't have that in mind for me. That's fine. Even ministry is not without temptation. You sit in seminary under these men who you look up to, rightly so, and they have doctorates. Doctor this and doctor that, and you think, I'm going to be a doctor. But God has abused me of that mistake as well. One seminary professor wisely told me, don't get a PhD. He had a PhD. He taught languages. It's necessary, really, for the study that he had to do in teaching Hebrew. He said, don't get a PhD unless the job that you are looking to fill absolutely demands it. And that's wise. The pastorate doesn't demand it. Few jobs do. And even jobs that do, it's really unnecessary. But it's that striving I want to be someone, Dr. Campbell. No. Even if I had a PhD, I would insist, don't call me that. Just call me Christopher. No. No. All of these things, fame, your education, your career, your family, even ministry. Well, that guy's one of the best preachers. That guy is really a great pastor. You see, our hearts are so ready, aren't they, to just grab on to this and to glorify our own name. I don't know what it might be for you. Perhaps it is your career. Or perhaps you young people. Here's what I see most often for those of you who are younger, young children. It's popularity. I want to be popular. I want to be popular in my age group. I want my name to be known as one of the cool kids. As you grow older, you still want that. You just hide it better. But maybe middle age is prosperity. I want to succeed in business. I want to make a name for myself as one of the experts in my field. It's not wrong to be an expert in your field. But if your goal is to elevate yourself, it is wrong. As you get older, maybe it's your legacy. What am I going to leave behind? Am I going to leave my name on a building? Am I going to leave my name on a company? You know, we're going to learn tonight about a building project that went very wrong. People tried to leave their name on it, to make a name for themselves. And we'll see how God responds to that. No. And unless God changes our desire, we will die seeking our own glory, seeking our name to be glorified. Unregenerate, unconverted people will go to the grave seeking to glorify themselves. It's a reality. And they will spend all eternity in hell doing the same. Seeking their own glory. You know, the sad reality is that there are many who gain fame, but heaven never knows their name. Ever. The only place their name is ever known is here. And what is life here? Scripture describes life here as grass that grows today and is mown down tomorrow. It's a blip on the radar of eternity. And that's what some people have and all they have. And it's not even that good. It's no wonder there are so many who gain fame in this world who end up committing suicide because they understand the emptiness of it. It's nothing. Worthless. Trash. But the reality is that if we're going to have the ability to do this, if we're going to have the ability to move away from self-seeking glory takers to self-denying glory givers, God must work in us. The change happens in the heart. And it's only God who can do that. You see, only God can really glorify himself, and he uses us to do so. He works through us to bring glory to his name. Because by nature, our sinful heart's desire is to see only one name glorified. And that's our own. We're born with that tendency. I want my name in lights. I want to be the one. I want to be the center of attention. But God gently moves us in a different direction. As we are converted, as God works in us by his Spirit, he says, listen, I know that you desire to see your name glorified, but let me show you a better way. And he brings us, and it's as if God is saying to us, I want to make my name great through you. But as long as you're going to be worried about making your own name great, I cannot use you. Because only one name is going to take top seat. And if you're going to be focused on your name so much and what you're doing and what you are building in your own lives, then God is going to perhaps let you go on with that. He will be glorified, he just might not use you. But God says, no, here's the better way. Realize that your name is already known in the only place that it matters, by me. Your name is known. It's written in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, spend your life making my name known. You see how that frees you up? To glorify God's name. You don't have to worry about glorifying your own name. You don't have to worry about making your own name great. It's God who makes names great. He's the one who told Abraham, I will make your name great. He's the one who told David, I will make your name great. And David and Abraham trusted in God. And so the question then, whose name do we desire to see glorified? Well, that's simply, it's ours. That's who we by nature desire to glorify. But the second question that I want to think about this morning is whose name deserves to be glorified. And I hope you see that it is God's name alone that deserves to be glorified. It's because God is God. God is not part of his creation. God has revealed himself in Isaiah as holy, holy, holy. When something is repeated three times, God's serious about it. God is beyond us all and worthy of all glory. God is not of his creation. He is the creator. God's name deserves to be glorified because God is God. But it deserves to be glorified because God's name, his name in particular, reveals who he is, his attributes. In fact, often in Scripture we'll read things like this, Isaiah 57:15. God's name is holy. It's not describing God's name, but it's saying God's name is actually holy. Or in Exodus 34:14, his name is jealous. His holiness, his jealousy, that is his zealousness for his people, or God's authority. As many of you saw last week with the baptism, it's God's authority. In baptism, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the authority of his name. Right there, we see that God's name deserves to be glorified because God is God. God's name deserves to be glorified because God's name itself, which points to his attributes, tells us who God is. And as such, God's name deserves to be glorified in the way we live. That's the calling to us. Now this begins in our hearts. Again, as I said earlier, we cannot even begin to glorify the name of God if God has not first worked in us. We might put it this way. We cannot sanctify, that is, set apart God. Now we can't add anything to God's holiness. Don't think that when we are saying we are going to set God apart that we're doing anything or adding anything to him. God is glorious. God does not change. God is perfect. So we don't do this by addition, as if we could add anything to God, but we do this by acknowledgement. We acknowledge who God is. This begins in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is, set him apart as holy in your hearts. Determine in your inner man, in your inner being, to live a life that sees God as holy. And then treat God as such. Treat his name as such. Do everything that you can to avoid seeing his name dishonored or blasphemed. Certainly don't do it yourself. But what about when others do it? When they use the name of your God in vain? Do you let it go? Do you allow it to be dishonored? Trusting his name for salvation. God's word says that there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Praising God for who he is and what he does. And our call to worship this morning, we heard that, didn't we? Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Professing God before others. Confess me before men. And this is an interesting one, serving God. Certainly walking in obedience to God, but also serving others. Listen to these words. This is Hebrews 6:10. Your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, what the author of Hebrews is saying is that this work and labor of love in ministering to the saints is shown to the name of God. When we serve one another, when we minister to one another, we are glorifying the name of God. So God's name deserves to be glorified by the way we live. Let me also Let me also encourage you in this, that God's name is to be glorified in the way we die. Do you know that you have an opportunity to glorify God in your death? You do. Paul knew this. Paul says this, I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul had lived since his conversion on the Damascus Road for the glory of God's name. And here Paul says, I'm ready to die for that same glory. I'm ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. His glory, his name particularly, is to be glorified in the way we live and even in the way we die. It's not a pleasant thing to think about death, but it will come. But how will you die? In faith? Looking to God? Recognizing that your death has been planned from the beginning. That God has kept you here because he has work for you to do. And when that work is over, he will call you home. Not a moment too soon or a moment too late. And you know where you're going. So will you die in faith and bring glory to God? God's name deserves to be glorified in the way we live and the way we die. And his name deserves to be glorified forever. And it will be. We, as God's people in Christ, will glorify his name in heaven. When we've been there 10,000 years, the hymn says, we've only just begun. Now, 10,000 years sounds like a long time, but it's just a beginning. A small piece of eternity. But you know that all will glorify God's name. Even those in hell. Not willingly. But they will bring glory to God for all eternity as a witness to his justice and his righteousness and his holiness. Oh, all creation will bring glory to God. We need to start now. Especially those of us who are called by God to do this. And so Jesus instructs us to pray. Hallowed be your name. That is to pray. To pray that God would enable us to glorify his name in our hearts, in our lives, in our death. And in eternity. That's the call, isn't it? It's easier prayed than done, isn't it? It is. Because our sinful nature drives us to be self-glorifying sinners. To live a hallowed be my name life, even while we're praying, hallowed be thy name. And that's what you're going to struggle with. You're going to go out, you're going to go throughout your week, and you're going to have opportunity after opportunity to glorify the name of God. The question is, are you going to choose to glorify his name or your own? So I want you to stop praying, hallowed be thy name, and then going out and living a hallowed be my name life. There's an inconsistency there. And you don't have to do that any longer. I want you to be free from this. Because as we talked about earlier, the only place that you need to worry about your name being known is the place where it's already known, in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. Where else does it matter that your name is known? It doesn't matter. You're free now to glorify the name of God because you don't have to worry about glorifying your own. So go and do it. You're created to glorify God. And doubly, you've been redeemed to glorify God. You've been purchased as an instrument in God's hands to bring him glory. He paid a great price for you, didn't he? The blood of Christ. And he said that he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He desires that. There's only one name that deserves glory, and it is not yours. It is God's. Glorify him. Glorify his name. Glorify him in your heart, in your life, at your death. Knowing with certainty that you will glorify him for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. God, help us to do what you command us to pray. To see your name glorified, set apart, acknowledged as holy, beyond compare. Forgive us for seeking to glorify our own names. Forgive us for seeking to to build our own kingdoms. Oh God, might we, as we pray this, by your Spirit, be driven and encouraged in the knowledge that we are known where it matters, in heaven. And therefore, it does not matter where our name is on this earth or how well it is known. What matters is that your name is known. And we pray that you would do this in us and through your church. In Jesus' name, amen.